Praise God. I'm excited to bring part two of a message that I began last week, and then on Wednesday evening in Foundations, we went a little deeper with what I brought last Wednesday. So if you haven't had a chance, go on to Facebook Live and pick up from Wednesday night. But we're talking about dealing with delays, part two, and today we'll be helping others hold on, or helping how to help others, how to help others. All right. Because we treasure the Word of God, we stand and we read the Scripture in preparation to receive today's message from the Lord. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. I'll give you a moment to get that. Some of you have been bringing your Bibles. I've been hearing the flutter of angel wings, as one minister used to put it. And it's a Methodist minister years ago that used to come and preach at the church I was on staff at for many years. He would come, he was from a Methodist background, but he would always make us turn in our Bible. And he says, I want to hear those angel wings. I want to hear those angel wings. All right, so Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. I'll be reading out of the New King James. Because we treasure the Word of God, we are reading in preparation today's message. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Mm. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, the teacher, the guide on the inside. And Lord, as I minister, I thank you, God, you're teaching me and you're teaching through me. I give you all the glory and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, dealing with delays. Dealing with delays. Last week, we talked about that when we deal with delays in our life, many, many times what ends up happening, if that delay is very long, it's really easy to fall into discouragement. Has anybody ever been there? You've been waiting for a long time on something and you've gotten discouraged, all right? You're not alone, all right? You're not alone. People do get discouraged. But we talked about how discouragement, when it's left unchecked, what ends up happening is then doubt comes in. You know, discouragement has a cousin. It's called doubt. And then when doubt comes in, we start to either doubt that we heard from God in the first place, or we start to doubt if God's word is even true. I mentioned this last week. It's how sometimes that's where people literally unhook from the Christian faith and walk away. It's because they've gotten discouraged about something. Perhaps they've gotten hurt. They didn't get a question answered. They didn't get the breakthrough they were believing for. And doubt came in. Doubt's a thief. Yes. Doubt is a thief. Yes. And we know where thievery comes from, right?
Yes.
And doubt comes in just like the enemy in Genesis came and sowed the seeds of doubt to Adam and Eve. He will sow the seeds of doubt to you. And so we need to combat those things in our life. And so we went through some of the scriptures that would help you. And we talked about how when discouragement comes, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We looked at David in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And how he was dealing with a bunch of discouraged people that they wanted to kill him almost. And the Bible says in the King James Version, somebody asked me what that version was, because I think what we had on the screen and what I said was two different things last week. It says in the end part of that verse in that chapter of 1 Samuel chapter 30, it says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. The New King James says he found strength in the Lord, right? He found strength, or he strengthened himself in the Lord. So there is a responsibility on us that when discouragement starts knocking at your door, you've been waiting at this for a long time. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? Well, you don't let him come in. Don't give it thought. Don't let it fester in your mind. Don't let it just kind of fester there. Because then eventually he goes and another knock at the door, but this time you're not opening it. Discouragement opens it for you. And it's doubt. And then fear sets in. Because fear says, I'm alone. I'm not going to make it. Fear says, I don't have what it takes to make it. And God has an answer for every one of those things. We went and touched on those things. I encourage you to go back and listen to that message. So today I want to talk to you about moving from being the one who is discouraged to how can we help those who are discouraged. Because this week I've been meditating on a particular verse out of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, if you were here for prayer, I mentioned that verse. And that verse, I've been just meditating on it because it talks about the fact that we have an anointing. We have an anointing from God. And that's not just talking to a fivefold minister. In other words, somebody who's an apostle, a teacher, a prophet, right? An evangelist. It's not just talking about those ministry gifts, but every believer has an anointing. You have an anointing from God. Now, you may not have matured to the place where you operate in that anointing, but every believer has an anointing from God. Let's just go there. In a second, there we go. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at it. This is I've just been getting stirred up about this all week. I heard a minister on it earlier this week. You know, Pastor Christine talks about what she was feeding along and how God used that. Well, when we feed ourselves and not just wait for Sunday, okay? Not just wait for Sunday or Wednesday night tuning in, right? But we feed ourselves. We feed along the lines of what the Lord will lead us to do. But it's interesting how it intersects with what God's assignment is for you. And there in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." And you know all things. How many in here caught yourself this week sometime and said, "I don't know"? Anybody? I've said it, "I don't know." You know, we need to kind of change our vocabulary. I told you in the beginning of this year that God was dealing with me as we were driving back from Florida, you know, watching what comes out of our mouth. You know, instead of saying, "I don't know," that's just an easy, lazy thing to say. Yeah. Instead of, "I don't know." Instead of that, we should say, "I will know," or "I haven't gotten it quite yet." You can find creative ways to say it so you're not lying, but you can know that God's truth is up here, right? Our reality might be down here where we're still looking through a glass as darkly, right? We're still walking by faith. We may make a stumble or two in the process. We might bump into something, but aren't you glad that you have an anointing and that you know all things? So if you're going to help somebody, now let's go back to our passage. I first of all want you to know you have an anointing.
Yes.
Now I want you to say it out loud. Say, "I have an anointing from God. And I know all things." Hallelujah. Just say it again. Say, "I know all things." Now that doesn't, you know why there's a disconnect there? It's because our human thinking, our carnal mind is fighting that phrase. When we say that, our carnal mind is fighting it because we're saying, I don't know everything. And religion teaches us, well, you never know what God's going to do. That's not what this verse said. You have an anointing and you know all things. Oh, really? Well, then the Apostle Paul over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said we had the mind of Christ. Wait a second. If I have the mind of Christ, I must not be operating at that level. I must not be intersecting with my life, the world, at that level. But how many understand that Jesus was not the only one who walked that way? After he left, his disciples walked that way. His disciples knew. Even to the point, we go back to the Apostle Paul's conversion. There was a disciple named Ananias. God speaks to him. He's not even famous. He makes a guest appearance in the New Testament. But the Bible says he was a disciple. That means he was following after Christ. And he heard God so clearly.
Yes.
He heard God so clearly that God told him to go to the street called Straight. Gave him an address.
Wow, that's awesome.
A specific address.
That's awesome.
And you're going to find Paul. And you're going to go pray for him. Very specific. Very specific. What about having the mind of Christ? Do you think that God wants us to come up a level?
Yes.
Than where we're operating right now?
Yes.
You say, yeah, but that's for the apostles. That's for the preachers. That's for the, you know, the 12. That's for only... Where does it say that?
Nowhere.
Where does it say that? It doesn't say, well, all my gifts and my gifts of the Holy Spirit are only for the apostles. I grew up in a church that taught me that. They said, oh, when the Bible came, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were no longer needed. Really? Have you looked at the world lately? Have you seen how your own life has gone? I thank God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
I thank God for the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, the voice of God that has kept me out of all kinds of things. Why? Because God wants us to hear better. He wants us to help those that might be discouraged. He wants us to be those instruments. It's not about just the minister. It's about being with people in their situations and helping them through it. So now go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Now remember, discouragement, delays, discouragement, all of these things are characteristic of people's lives, right? All of these things. So let's go ahead there. And it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He promised. He's faithful. And we read last week that all the promises of God are yes and amen in him. So we understand that if we hold fast to our confession, it means the enemy's coming to try to take it away. He's going to come and try to sow seeds of doubt. He's going to try to twist things around and rob you of the power of God and rob you of operating at a level that God's called each one of us to operate at. He's called us to be the instruments of light. He's called us to be instruments of love. He's called us to be those who actually speak into the lives of those who are dealing with delays.
That's good.
When you're dealing with a delay, you will end up, like I said, delays produce discouragement. Discouragement produces doubt. Doubt produces fear. It just It's a trickle-down effect. Right. What do I say to those people, Pastor? What happens when I end up getting in the middle of those people? Now, last week we had Adam holding up two things, right? Uh-oh. And he was getting tired holding up his arms. He held up two heavy things. And then we had two volunteers come on each side of him and hold up the burden. That's called intercession. It can also go over into the area of supplication. So I'm going to talk about those two things. If we're going to help others hold on through delays, then God's calling us to intercession. Intercession in the English language just means to come between something. Standing in the gap, you may have heard that definition. You're standing in a gap. There's a gap between somebody and something. And when you pray, you are interceding. You are standing in the gap. You are literally coming alongside and helping to shoulder that burden, like the visual that we had last week with Brother Adam. And there's strength in that. So God's calling us to intercession. He's also calling us to supplication. Now, when you supplicate for somebody, it's very similar. The scripture tells us in Philippians chapter 4, it says, don't be anxious about anything. Verse 6, it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So what does that look like? Well, I need your help on this test. That's supplication. But if somebody else is praying for you because they know you're really struggling, that is usually intercession. Now, one of my mentors from a distance in the faith was Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin. And he used to say, intercession is mostly for the non-believer. Supplication is for the believer. When you supplicate, you can supplicate for yourself, but you can also supplicate for another. You can pray for another, for their needs and for what's going on. Lord, I'm believing you, praying for healing for my family member, for my friend, for my coworker, right? So if intercession is praying on behalf of somebody, you know, standing in the spiritual gap for them, if you can think of it this way, intercession is more of others focused. Supplication is more of you focused, if you can think of it that way, all right? And 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. So there is admonition for New Testament believers to do that. Now, we just went there as some supporting scriptures. But in Hebrews chapter 10, let's look at verse 22, because that's the preparation, if you will, to be able to help others. So go ahead there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. And then let's look at what the scripture tells us in verse 22. It is literally the preparation for us. It's the preparation for us to help others. And here's what it says. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is the preparation. The preparation of being able to help others is check up on your own walk with God. Check up on your own walk with God. Are there things in your life that you need to get rid of? They might not even be sinful things. Sometimes God just tells you, you're wasting time on that. You could be doing something else that would be more productive for you. Hey, right, we have the mind of Christ, right? You have an anointing from the Holy One, right? So if you hear his voice, and John tells us, my sheep hear my voice, that those are Jesus' words, and they don't follow the voice of another. So if we practice hearing God, God may tell you to cut something out of your life. And it may not be a deep, dark, terrible sin. He may just say, cut that out of your life. Now, we're going to be having that special service with Reverend Gary Crowell. And I remember he said he was a missionary to Haiti at one time. He was down there in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. He had learned Creole. I mean, it was one of his first missions assignments. But he loved Diet Coke. Diet Coke, Diet Coke, Diet Coke, Diet Coke. And every chance he got, he'd be drinking Diet Coke. Well, he developed some health issues because of it. And, you know, lo and behold, then God began to speak to him. And God said, you need to cut it out. And he cut it out. And guess what? His health issues totally went away. And was it a sin? No, but, you know, sometimes there are things in our life that are not necessarily going to send us to hell. But we need to get rid of them. We need to get rid of it. And 1 John 1:9 says, "If he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." All right. So get yourself ready if you're going to be an instrument to help others. Get yourself ready.
Thank you, Jesus.
And it's real simple. It's real simple. Just get yourself ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, get yourself ready. And if the person is across the aisle, shout to him, get yourself ready. All right. Now let's go back to verse 23. It says this, hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So that's verse 23. And as I was looking at that in preparation for today, I was just thinking about, okay, somebody's facing a delay. How do I help them? Verse 23 has a key. It's called hope. When somebody's facing a delay, we need to be holders of hope.
Hallelujah.
We need to be holders of hope. We need to be the voice in their life that says, come on, don't give up. I know you've been waiting long. Don't give up. I know you've been waiting long. We need to be holders of hope. Holders of hope. When we hope, you don't want somebody to give up hope. Because when they give up hope, it gets to be a very dark place. That's when discouragement comes in. When they start giving up hope. So the word tells us that we should be the ones who don't let go. In other words, hold fast means to hang on to it. When you hang on to it, you need to help others hang on to hope. So if you want to help others, you get them to hang on to hope. You know, so often people will, when they're going through something, I don't know what it is about human nature, we go through something and immediately, just listen to your office talk, just listen to neighbors or friends, people that aren't really that close with God or even that close with the things of God or being positive, and you'll find out as soon as you say something negative, they will jump in. They'll jump right in. Well, I had a friend. They died. Right? It's something about human nature. We want to pile on the negativity. Mm-hmm. It takes listening to the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm, and telling your mind, no, I'm not going to just go down negative road.
Yeah.
You need to listen. If you have the anointing of God, the mind of Christ, you can listen. Remember, we're holders of hope. What can you say hopeful to the person that is dealing with a delay? They're believing God for healing. They're believing God for a breakthrough. They're standing on a promise. And they're getting weary. Remember the picture of Adam hanging onto those heavy metal stands, right? And his arms got tired. It took somebody coming alongside and holding up his arms. Now, I'm reminded of the Old Testament story. We won't go there. But Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands so that they could win the battle. We won't go there. But you can study that on your own. And you'll see that it takes sometimes people to come alongside you. But if you are not connected relationally, And we're going to see that in a minute, the rest of this passage. If you're not connected relationally to a community of faith, how can they know when you're going through a tough time? How can they know? They won't, because you're not around. So they won't know. So it's important that we be those holders of hope when people are facing a delay. What about discouragement? What if discouragement has already kicked in? They're discouraged. They're giving into depression. They're giving into everything that comes along with that. What do you say to them? You know, we need to be promise pointers at that point. Promise pointers. We need to promise them and remind them of God's promise that in Psalm 34:18 it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. When we come alongside somebody, don't deny what they're feeling. Now, we faith people, we're really good about, don't say that. We call it confession cop, right? When somebody's going through something, we need to go to the heart of the matter. They're grieving. They may be in pain. We don't deny that they're grieving. We don't deny that they're in pain. Instead, we point to the promise. One of the best things you can ever say to somebody who is overwhelmed is the promise that Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. It's the one thing that we see consistent all through the Old Testament and the New Testament. The thing that brings somebody up is when you say, the Lord's with you. The Lord's with you. The Lord's with you. He promised he would never leave nor forsake you. The Lord is with you. There is strength that comes when people are discouraged. I'm telling you how to help others who are facing delays, who are getting into discouragement. I'm telling you how to help them. He is close to the brokenhearted. He's close to the brokenhearted. When you say God is with you, it can help change their focus and their direction. Isaiah chapter 40, they that wait on the Lord, he'll give them strength, right? Jeremiah 29:11. I'm just throwing these out there. We're not going to all of them. For I know the plans I have for you, I declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. You remind them, we are promise pointers in those situations. If you want to help somebody, be a hope holder, be a promise pointer. Point to the promise. Don't jump in on the negative. Well, I had a friend. Right? We don't need to be doing that. We need to remind them that Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He will restore. And you are that instrument. Remember, you have an anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy One. So how do I help them go through those things? How do I help them when they are discouraged, when they are facing doubt? You know, remember when the father that had the child that needed to be healed, and what did he say? Help my unbelief. Yes. What did Peter say when he started to sink? Help me. We need to be the ones who, when there is doubt, that not only do we help them hold on to hope, we need to keep pointing back to hope. We need to keep giving them the promises of God and remind them that all the promises of God are yes and amen. Don't let religion tell you that it is just, well, if God wants it, it'll be. Let's not get into that. Because if you find in the scripture that God wants something, you hang on to that. Hold fast your confession. Hold fast, not wavering, right? Yeah. And then we look in verse 24. It says, let us consider, this is Hebrews chapter 10, one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as some are in the manner of doing, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So when we are in those situations, I wanted you to know these are ways that you can minister hope, you can minister help, You can minister healing. You can actually point people to the promise. You're a promise pointer. Yeah. Just say that. Say, I'm a hope holder.
I'm a hope holder.
Say it over yourself like you mean it. Say, I'm a hope holder. I hold on to hope, and I help others hold on to hope. Now just say this with me. Say, I'm a promise pointer. I point people to the promises of God, and I encourage them. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Years ago, there was a Christian music artist, and he wrote a song. I'm not going to sing it for you, but I'm going to read some of the words. It says, will you be the one to answer to his call? Will you stand when those around you fall? To take his light into a darkened world, tell me, will you be the one? And he says at the end of the song, yes, I'll be the one to answer to his call. I will stand when those around me fall. I will be the one to take his light into a darkened world. I will be the one. God is calling us as a church to a higher level. There is a maturity that he's calling each one of us to come up to. And it may require some things to be left behind in order for you to go to that level that God wants you to go to. When we look at the scriptures, it says that we are to encourage one another. That is a community of faith. That is a relationship. That is a place where you pray together. That's a place where you are living and doing life together, so that when you have those dark days, when you have those discouraging moments, when you feel like just crawling under your bed and just, you know, giving up, that's where you need your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why being a part of a local family of God is so vital. Because sometimes on Sunday morning, I don't get to really hear all of you and what's going on in all of your lives. But when you message me, you connect back to me, those are opportunities for me to pray for you, because I do pray for you. And when I know stuff is going on, I can pray for you. I can send you an encouraging word. When I see you next time, I will pray for you. When I'm praying, driving down the road, faces come up before me and I pray. Sometimes I'll even call at that very moment and say, I've been thinking about you and I'm praying for you right now. How can I pray for you? And it's important that all of us come up to that level, because God's calling each one of us to a mature level in Christ, that we are givers, not always on the receiving end, but we're the givers of that hope. We're hope holders. We're promise pointers. We're the ones who come alongside and lift up the hands that are getting weary and weak when the delays come. We're the ones who help slam the door on discouragement. We are the ones who ignore when doubt comes that way, right? And just say, no, doubt, you don't have a place here, because you're not going to rob me of God's promises. No, no, we're not doing that. And what do? You begin to just lift up your hands, lift up the place, and you decide, I am going to stand in the gap. I'm going to supplicate for my friends, my family, and we're going to seek victory in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, God, that it has the power to change the way we think. Help us in this place, in this space, in this local congregation, God, to be those that hold on to hope, and help others to do the same, to be the promise pointers, to find the promises of God and share them and be those that come alongside. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word changing us. Right now, with every head bowed, and perhaps you're in this place and maybe you're online and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus. Or perhaps you've been away from God and you just feel that tug in your heart. It's time to really come home, give your life fully to Him. If that's you, I want you to pray a simple prayer with us out loud. If you're watching online or if you're here in this place, if you want me to pray for you to be born again or to come back to God, I just want you, while every head bowed, every eye closed, just raise up your hand and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Is there anybody at all? I'm just going to wait just for a moment. Perhaps you're watching online. Hallelujah. Let's just pray this simple prayer. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead, and I receive His forgiveness, and I declare right now that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior from this day on. Hallelujah. Thank Him. Just go ahead and thank Him. Father, we thank you. We thank you for that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. If you need prayer for any special reason, I'll be around front. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe that God in this last day and age wants people to be so full of God that the presence of God literally goes with them wherever they go. And that's a powerful thing. And I just believe wherever we walk, the light of God goes with us. And when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you can walk in the same anointing that Jesus had. Not that you're equal to Him. You're not. You didn't hear me say that, right? He's above everything. I'm not saying that. But the same anointing that was available to Jesus when He walked on planet Earth is available to us. And He's called the Holy Spirit. And He will lead and guide you. He will empower you to lay hands on the sick, to see the sick recover, to give you signs, wonders, and miracles in your life. It's not just for the full-time pastors. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit have never passed away. You can study church history and realize it has never gone away. They've always been here. Thank God. Thank God. Let's stand to our feet and let's speak this over our church, over our family, over our lives right now. This is Psalm 121, 7 and 8. Hallelujah. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. We'll see you next time.